This podcast is recorded on the unceded lands of the Darug, Gundungurra, Ngunnawal and Gambri people. We stand with the First Nations people of this land and of others, and we think it's important to consider the parallels that occur internationally. Both Black Australians and Palestinians, for instance, have a shared history of struggles and resistance against settler colonialism, genocide and oppression. We are recording this episode a month before it will be released, but I do suspect that this will still be relevant at the time of this release, as the impacts of colonisation continue to devastate locally as well as globally.
Welcome to Somebody You Love, or The Sale of Two Titties. I'm Jenna Love.
And I'm Holly Hart.
And we're experts in disappointing our parents, breaching community guidelines, and banging the people who vote against our rights.
Just a content warning for this episode. It will contain discussions about Christmas. If you find Christmas disgusting, if you really hate Santa, if you're really upset by the consumerism, this is not the episode for you. If you're disturbed by really poorly applied tinsel, colourful Christmas lights, gift giving in general, you probably should tune out of this episode. But Jenna, I know
Okay, so you're doing this one solo? Or?
Yeah.
I know they I'm out.
All apply to you, but unfortunately you're on board for this one. Hopefully this is a reasonably light-hearted episode today. But Christmas, it's nearly here. And by the time this episode goes out, it will be on the doorstep.
In a couple of days.
Yeah. A little late for a Christmas gift guide, but this is the best thing is that now anything we suggest that you are interested in, you can buy in the Boxing Day sales for yourself or for someone else and be like, wow, I know Christmas is over, but look at me spoiling you and you look extra good. You've done doubly gifting. So...
And you've not broken the budget.
Yeah, I hope not. We love a sale, except for not the sales, not the Black Friday sales that are happening as we're recording. Jenny,
no.
It's been inundated.
Yeah, we're recording this in November and my phone is just full of people trying to sell me things and I'm really annoyed about it and I don't know who gave them the right, frankly.
It is offensive. I'm quite happy with a few emails in my inbox, but how dare you text? It is 2023. You don't text.
Yeah.
That's awful. Go away.
And I think, I don't know, it's just like it's one of those things. It's similar to Halloween. It's one of those things that, like, I'd never heard of Black Friday, say, 5 years ago, and now it's become more and more of a thing in Australia. And now, like, everyone's just saying Black Friday as though I have any sense of what that means. I don't know what it is. It sounds like, I mean, I feel like as Australians, as people who live in this country, it's a bushfire day.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't sound like a happy thing to me.
No, it's a day of mourning and stress and wetting your house
yes.
with a hose. Yeah.
Yes. Especially because it's coming into summer. Like it's, oh yeah, I'm just not into it, which I know the Americans didn't know about that. It's not their fault, but it just, I don't love our country adopting it. It's all, I don't want to be, you know, anti everything, but it might be the episode for me for that.
Yeah, I was like, no, you do. You have a good sense of adventure. You've just got strong boundaries when it comes to frivolity.
I do. I need to get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, the Black Friday bushfires. Oh, that was in 1939. Okay, I guess that's not, that's maybe, okay, maybe that was a while ago.
I feel like here in Canberra we had some bushfires a couple of years ago, you know, time flies, it's decades ago now.
There was Black Saturday back in 2009.
Yeah. Well, there was Black Sunday in January 1955.
Anyway.
So, yeah, look, we just calling days black tends to be when there was bushfires in Australia. So
Anyway, I'll get over that. But I just don't like it. And I don't want them to fucking text me about it, Maya.
Oh, yeah.
Get out of my phone. What
are
you doing?
Spam texts. Yeah, it's awful. Terrible. Here we are again. The years, they go by so fast. We're jumping into our sexy gift giving guide for 2023 or gift buying for yourself because treat yourself. You should. You should buy yourself things all the time, especially during an inflation crisis where you should be curbing spending.
That's the time.
That's the time. That's the time for it. Cost of living pressures be damned. Who needs to eat? Buy yourself these sexy things.
It's too stressful. You have to do retail therapy to deal with it. That's It all comes full circle.
My first recommendation on this list is a sex toy, which I received from a wonderful client. I had put it up on my wish list or on my page. I had seen another worker post about it and I was just so intrigued. It's got an awful name. It's got about six to eight words in it, but it's called the Pipe Dream Fantasy for Her Ultimate Pleasure, which, look, it's very gendered. I don't like that about it because anyone could use it. But aside from its awful name, which you can either type into Google or I have put the links for these in the show notes so you can at least look up the item without too much stress. It is a really cool, really weird looking little device. It has a vibration feature. It has a little moving tongue that caresses whatever body part you want to put it against. But my favorite part is it has a suction pump. So at the same time as it's licking you with its little tongue, it also sucks harder and harder, almost to a point of discomfort. But it's really, really good. I definitely have had a lot of fun with it. I don't know why, but right now I'm trying not to be too graphic. I'm like, oh, don't offend the listeners with the sensibilities. But when I tell you I had big, big dirty cums, I did. It was great. It's a really good toy. It's quite expensive. Hopefully there's a few good sales for it coming up, but it was definitely a lot of fun. If you're into oral sex particularly, if you are a clitoris owner, maybe if you like nipple stimulation, this is the toy for you. I think it's a lot of fun. It's very different. It's not
to use it on your nipples as well.
I think you could. I think you easily could have that suction and then the licking. I think that would be a lot of fun. I think, you know, there's those toys called the womanizer and satisfier and things like that do sort of a pulsing suction. And I just don't think that's very stimulating for me. It's not grabby enough. This thing, like, it sucks you. It fucking grabs onto you. And that's actually quite enjoyable. It's really novel.
You're selling me on it.
Yeah.
Maybe I would like this.
You can try it when you come to visit. It's, I found it really, really, really fun. And I think it's really fun for people to watch. I've had a few people be like, oh, can I?
Cool.
And okay. Exciting. My second recommendation is a little bit more unique. I think maybe a year ago I was on an out call with a client and we were in his hotel room winding down after a booking and I was lying, sinking into the big soft hotel pillows. And I was like, fuck me, this pillow is one of the nicest, like falling into a cloud soft, but also supportive and like spongy and lovely. So I like quite a firm pillow to sleep on, like a latex thing, but on your bed for decoration and also just to sit back and snuggle into. Sometimes it's nice to have some big fluffy pillows. And I pulled the pillowcase off the pillows in the room and I was like, what brand are these? I have to buy them. They are called the Alliance Ultra Plush Microfiber Pillows. They are $34 each, which to me is freaking insane for a pillow. That is so cheap. You can get them on My Deal, I think, sites like that. So I thought, what's the harm? I think they're, you know, mass produced for hotels and stuff. I believe that they're hotels made for that sort of thing. So I bought a bunch of them. They arrived and I used them on both of my bed and my spare bed, sort of as that extra pillow. And I've been using them now for a year. They have not deflated at all. They don't go flat. They don't go lumpy. They have stayed consistently like big, puffy, firm, soft clouds. They're just gorgeous. And so highly recommend if you want a really affordable, extra cushiony goodness on your bed or for somebody else, I recommend those pillows. I think it's very, you know, it might not be very sexy, but it's just so nice to have something that feels really luxurious and that lasts and that's
under 50. Comfort is so sexy.
$50. Yes, agreed. It's lovely.
I guess it makes sense, right, that the pillows that hotels use and the bedding that they use would be like good enough quality in terms of lasting.
Yeah,
like
it's very durable.
Last a long time. They'd go through a lot of washes, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Makes sense.
I was not expecting them to last so well. I thought, that they'd probably churn through them and chuck them out. But yeah, these are gorgeous still. So obsessed. My final recommendation is another thing that a wonderful client gifted me. I have been so spoiled. It's the Spare Parts Joke Strap-On Harness. I believe it's pronounced Joke, J-O-Q-U-E. Joke could be jock, I guess. But anyway, it is fantastic. Again, linked in the show notes. This harness is so far the best strap-on harness I've ever used. Again, it is quite expensive. It is at the higher price point of these things, but I think it lasts. I think it will be very durable. I think it's incredibly comfortable. And when it comes to pegging, you cannot overstate how important comfort is, because pegging can be hard, bloody work. I don't think there's anything in my experience, and maybe I'm not experienced enough, I don't think there's anything to stop that pain you get in your pubic bone from having a dildo in it just thumping against your pubic bone. I think that that's inevitable part of pegging, is that whatever you're using your pelvis to push into somebody else is going to injure you, to bruise you a little bit there, but that's part of the fun. We push through.
Particularly if they're on top and they're really riding it.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Where it driving happens it for in. Me. Like, you think I'm laying back and they're doing all the work, but oh, that pubic bone is getting attacked.
It gets bruised. So that's, I think that's inevitable. That is a thing that I still experience with this harness. But this harness has big, thick Velcro straps. So it actually has two different sizes. It has a smaller size and then a larger size that you can purchase. Even the smaller size goes up to quite a large size. Like, I'm not a small woman around the waist, and it still has a little bit more room to go for me. So you can, like, that's the smaller size. So then the larger size has a lot more girth to it. You can really adjust it a lot. It's Velcro adjustable, so you don't have to deal with all of these little
buckles.
Thank you. Yeah, you don't have to deal with a whole lot of buckles and stuff around tightening and untightening. You just Velcro it. The straps are really thick. The bands are thick, so it's not going to roll under and over and tangle while you're wearing it. It just sits solidly around your waist. Beautiful, comfortable, looks hot. It feels really sturdy. So highly, highly recommend that one. If you're into pegging, if you want to gift somebody, if you're hoping to get somebody to peg you, if you want to...
It's a good way to get it done.
Yeah. If you want to start exploring that kind of thing, I really think there are other strap-on harnesses on the market that are maybe around half the price that have okay reviews, but I really think this is the pinnacle. This is really, really good. And machine washable. Comes with a little washing bag, chuck it in the wash and you're done. So fantastic piece of equipment, I think.
I think it's pretty clear that Holly put this episode together, because I'm obviously a bit of a Grinch. And I really try not to be. I try not to be such a negative Nelly, but sometimes you just got to be who you are. And I went through, like, Holly had put together this episode, has different little kind of segments, and she put in all her ideas and made it so easy for me to just pop my ideas in. And I was like, I've got nothing. I was not trying to be difficult. I really tried to come up with stuff. And I don't know. I'm really not into gift giving, I guess. Like, I just...
Or receiving.
I think it's really weird. Or receiving. Yeah, no, I'm much more into giving than receiving.
Yeah.
And that's not to say, like, I don't know, I've got no problem with gifts, especially like when clients turn up with flowers and, monetary gifts, fucking brilliant, you know. But I just think giving things to people, I think it's really strange. I just think it's a strange thing that we do. I don't know. Obviously, like, it means a lot to a lot of people. Like, it's, you know, it's considered one of the love languages, and to some people gift giving is very meaningful. But I find it very strange to be like, here's a thing that I think you might like. And if they really, like, they probably already have it if they like it, or they'll just go get it. Like, I don't really, particularly, you know, in the world we live in where everything is so accessible and so, I shouldn't say so affordable, but a lot of stuff is within reach for a lot of people. So, I just find it all really strange. And I guess for me, especially in terms of like sexy stuff, like if Mr. Love was like, babe, I've got you a present. And I like unwrapped this present and it was a sex toy. I'd be like, what? Like, okay.
But what about in the situation where like I've just described some things that you might go, wow, I want to buy them for myself. So even if it's this gift giving guide isn't necessarily about things to buy for other
totally.
People. But sometimes it's nice to hear about the cool things that are around at the moment that you might want to buy.
Oh, agreed.
So,
aside from that. There are two items on your list that I'm like, I'm going to look into those for sure. I've got nothing against there being gift giving guides, but I guess I just, and I like, I've had quite a few clients who have spoken to me about, their relationships in their personal life where they've said, you know, they've tried to kickstart the intimacy and, they've taken different steps, and that, like, it's not so common, but I've heard quite a few times from people like, oh, I bought her this vibrator.
Yeah, and no.
When she opened it, she just like rolled her eyes at me. I'm like, yes. Yeah, I would do the same.
Yeah.
That's not such a weird present to give someone.
Maybe
it's slightly different as well because it's my job, right? Like, yeah. So if Mr. Love gave me, I'd be like, oh, thanks, I'll add that to the toolkit. Like,
yeah.
That's not a, you know.
Yeah, it would be different if you guys had the sort of sex life where you had regularly bought sort of toys and there was one you hadn't heard of and he turned up that week. Totally different. It depends on the dynamic.
Agreed.
But a lot it of does, people, yeah. It's going to be very weird if your partner just turns up and goes, here's a vibrator. Like, yeah.
Yeah, if that's not a thing that you normally do, it's going to be weird.
Yes.
And I guess, like, I didn't really think about it until my birthday earlier this year. And Holly said to me, oh, like, what did Mr. Love buy you? And I was like, oh, like nothing. Like, neither of my partners gave me a gift. I asked them both for extensive compliments and they obliged and it was wonderful. But I got heaps of gifts from my clients. And I was like, that's really perfect.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That was the perfect balance for me. So I guess maybe I like them from clients more than I like them from, I don't know.
Intriguing
anyway.
Psychology there.
Who knows? Who knows what's going on? But I mean, I think that's pretty straightforward, actually. There's an element of where, like, I feel that there's a transactional relationship. So a gift makes sense to me in that dynamic. Whereas, okay. In a less transactional or a non-transactional relationship, it's a bit more confusing to me. Even though, like, I give gifts all the time, I just hate having to do it on a certain day.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I love finding things and being like, oh, this thing, you should have this.
Mm-hmm. I know, like when you sent me my refugee t-shirt, that was so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I do, and I came up with something. I was like, okay, all right, Jenna. Okay, so if gift giving is not your love language, then what is, and what can you use to fulfill this brief on the episode? Because that's the kind of person I am. And I realized, like, that for me, something so special is like quality time spent together, and work and doing stuff together. So the kind of gifts that I really love are like going and doing a cooking class with my partner, or doing an escape room is obviously always my number one. And it depends on the dynamic that you have with the people in your life. But, Mr. Love and I, for instance, are obsessed with doing escape rooms together. And to be honest, in terms of like bringing intimacy into our relationship, that sort of stuff is what does it for me.
Yeah.
Like if we had booked in to, do a class on something and then had a hotel stay that night, like,
you're
that's
fucking
where the action's going to happen. Yeah. That is going to so get me going.
Yeah.
Give me a sucking, pulsating dildo and I'm like, oh, no. What? No, thank you.
An hour locked in a room with a bunch of puzzles and she's off.
Oh, my God. So much. Oh. And if we complete them together and we work really well together, like, I am just imagining how well your penis works in my vagina, you know?
Whoa.
Like, oh,
wow.
It is like that. Well, yeah, it's a small leap for me. So my gift giving suggestion is to give experiences rather than items, I guess.
That's technically what I did for your birthday.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You gave me like multiple experiences of having the visit to the zoo and spending the time with the animals and having Holly in another state.
Yeah. I love giving you multiple experiences. Eh? Eh? That's what she calls it, eh? Holly gives me multiple experiences.
Yes, she does.
great suggestions. So you've sort of said a cooking class, escape rooms. Are there any other things that you and your partner do specifically or more broadly that you think are really fun activities couples can do? Because I think some people are really, like, particularly dudes who are listening to this, some men are really misguided in what is a fun thing for couples to do. Like, I think maybe novel dinner ideas. Like, I saw this thing in Canberra recently where you can go out on a boat on the lake and they'll do like a little bit of a tour and they bring you like a dinner on it. That's cute. That's a sort of thing. I guess you're not solving things together.
I agree that it's a little bit of variety. It's something a bit different. It's an experience. I think I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what you're into, right? Like, I think I'm just a bit lame because I love museums and galleries and stuff like that kind of shit.
I don't think that's
gets
lame
me going.
Lovely.
But, yeah.
I think that's a very, very sweet thing. And while we're on the topic, we can recommend, we went to the Australian Wildlife Sanctuary in Bargo, which is about an hour south of Sydney. And that was so much fun. We highly recommend animal sanctuaries. We both love animals and it's really nice to support those sorts of places. But this one was really great. They took you around on a personalized tour and you could sort of spend as much time with each animal as you wanted. And it was a really lovely place. Yeah, that's a comes with a high recommendation from us.
Yeah, definitely. It was an awesome day. It was really good.
On to the Christmas porno game. Are you ready to guess away, Jenna?
The Christmas porno game sounds like my idea of hell.
Yeah. I know you love this sort of thing.
But yeah, no, I'm excited. Let's go.
Okay. I have here three synopses of films. Two of them are porn films and one of them is a non-porn film. Last year I said a real film and you said, wow, I don't know if the porn industry would be happy with you implying that their films are not real. So fair. So we've got two.
Sex work is real work, Holly.
It is, I know. It's very problematic of me. So two porns and a non-porn. Feel free to play along at home and try to guess which one is not a porno. Film one.
I feel like I need to take notes.
You can do that. Film one. Jane discovers Aaron is in a serious relationship and might propose to his girlfriend over Christmas. Realizing that he is the man for her and not wanting to lose him, she takes it upon herself to try to win him back. Film two. Carol's...
Okay. That was brief.
No, they're very brief for a number of reasons. Okay. Obviously, hang on. I'm not sure
it's
whether
I give too much away.
Yes, exactly. I don't know whether I clarified that these are all Christmas films and that's the fun here is it's a Christmas porn game. Okay. So two of them are Christmas pornos and one of them...
That's the fun,
that's
everyone.
The fun. This Get is on the board. Key. This is the...
We are having fun.
Have fun. Enjoy it. Christmas films. So two Christmas porns and a normal Christmas film, as much as any Christmas film can ever be normal. Okay. So, yeah, they've got to be fairly brief synopses because, yes, we've
got to. Jane's got to get Aaron back. Got it.
Film two. Carol Scrooge insists her employees work on Christmas. She is visited by three ghosts, showing her her past. From manipulating childhood friends to the meagre Christmas celebrations of her present-day employee Bob and his wife to a terrifying vision of a Christmas yet to come.
Ooh.
Film.
So, I mean, interesting. Because that definitely seems like it could be a setup for a porno, except then they start talking about her childhood friends. And you're like, no, don't be bringing that into a porno.
Yeah.
What? Well, interesting. Okay.
Film number three. Allie plans to propose to her girlfriend Harper in front of her family members, but she is in for a shock when she finds out Harper is yet to come out to her parents. When Harper's exes Connor and Riley show up, things get even more complicated.
That sounds like a movie I want to watch. Like a sex movie.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be a sex movie.
Well, you've got to give me the
surely
your opinion on one, two, or three.
Okay, I'm crossing out Harper and Ali and Riley and Connor because for one, they're all sex names, like they're all porno names.
Mm-hmm.
Like Riley and Connor, really? Do they turn up in like G.I. Joe outfits? Yeah, definitely. That one's a porno for sure, and I love it. I'm into it. The first one was so brief.
Yeah.
Just some chick finds out that this guy's engaged, but then she's like, we have to be together. And it's like, well, if you were supposed to be together, then wouldn't you know that he's engaged? Like, why is this news to you? If you like, okay. All right. Jane.
Yeah.
And then the Jane. Second one just seems.
He says with contempt.
Well,
all right.
Jane. Jane's like. Jane is a flawed hero. Let me just put it that way.
Wow.
Jane's got some.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think the middle one is not a porno, and I think that it shouldn't be a porno.
She votes Carol Scrooge.
Carol Scrooge.
Okay.
That's not a porno.
Jane discovers, I'm going to go through them all one by one. Jane discovers Aaron is in a serious relationship. That is from Family Holiday Volume 3. It is a porno. Aaron is her
Yeah, there's volumes.
Aaron is her stepbrother.
Yeah. Okay.
And she right. wants to win.
But they're destined to be together. Back, apparently. Okay. I told you Jane was flawed. I told you. Picked it.
Carol Scrooge is from the Passions of Carol 1975 pornography film.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, the 70s.
Yeah.
What have you done? What have the 70s done? 70s
Christmas porno where she and manipulates they visit, her
they
childhood.
They go back to her childhood?
I don't
know.
No,
the 70s. No.
And that means that the third film.
We don't do that anymore.
With the closeted girlfriend is a outrageous Christmas film called Happiest Season.
No,
it was
it's
only
not.
Released a few years ago,
no,
and I believe.
Not.
Kristen Stewart is in it.
No, it can't be.
Yeah. The 2020 film featuring Kristen Stewart. Yeah. And Aubrey Plaza.
It can't be.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Dan Levy.
Oh, appealing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is quite appealing. Yeah. And in a different way to how I was appealed before. What?
There you
no
go.
Way. This chick's like, I want to propose to my girlfriend. Oh no, my girlfriend's not out to her parents. Like she somehow didn't know that before.
Yeah.
And then the girlfriend's two exes turn up and like, come on.
I know. Oh, I'm glad. That means I did really well with
Amazing.
The synopses if it misled
you. Did.
Yeah. Beautiful.
You did so well.
Excellent.
You got me.
So we'll have to have a movie night and watch all three of those, I think.
Let's move on to holiday traditions, of which I have none.
Yeah.
So this should be a short segment.
This is going to be the fun part. Okay.
Okay. We are having fun.
Yes.
It is Christmas.
We're having a good
You must
time.
Have fun.
You know, I love that you say that because I don't give any of that energy. I'm like, whatever. But you are in your head going, everyone wants you to have fun. Is that the perceived vibe? No.
Wait, what do you... I don't know what you're talking
the,
about.
The voice, the character, have fun. That's, you know, no, that's the... Is that the rhetoric that you feel like
I
people
feel
have
like,
at Christmas time?
I feel like that's the rhetoric people have at me in life all the time. Everyone's like, you must have fun. And I don't really know what fun means. And I find it stressful. It's not for me. Like, I want to be...
Yeah.
I want to be satisfied. I want to feel calm. I don't know about having fun. I don't know if fun is my vibe.
Yeah. That is
and
what
particularly,
I was,
around holidays and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are like, fun. Everybody have fun. And I'm like, well, I'm good. It was nicer when it was quieter. Yeah.
No, that's definitely what I was, picking up on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Holiday traditions. What I mean by that is, you know, is there anything in particular that you tend to do each Christmas or that as a couple or as a family or you personally enjoy around this time of year? It doesn't have to be the normal Christmas things, but anything you'd sort of do for yourself?
Yeah, well, I did send my psychologist an email and I said, well, Christmas is Christmasing, so I'd like to book in. So I guess that's a tradition.
I think that
is that I get some therapy.
I think it's a fucking excellent tradition because Christmas is reportedly the time when most people endure mental health crises because there is so much pressure financially, family stress. There is so much pressure, loneliness, that a lot of people seek emergency mental health care during this time and therapy in general. Mm-hmm. So I think it is actually really sensible to start to preempt those things and to seek help.
Yeah.
And as always, to our listeners and to all of our clients in general, I'm always with my clients. I had a new client a week or two ago and I was like, do you go to therapy? You know, what meds are you on? I'm really, really, I'm really into taking care of your mental health. And I think that that's really, really good. And I think, being aware of the possible challenges coming up is important. That's a great Christmas tradition. I love it. I know last year you made a pavlova. Did you? Was it last year or the year before?
I did.
It was a good one.
I don't know.
It looked really impressive.
Yeah, it was fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite impressed. Yeah. So that's cool. I don't
found
know.
Found a recipe online and I made it and it was good.
Don't know if it's a tradition, but it's impressive.
I think I made it twice.
Mm.
Well, it's not a tradition.
Because you did it twice. It is now.
Happened once.
Now
so
it might
fast.
Happen a third time.
Mm. No, but like it would have to happen 3 years or like, you know.
Humbug.
That's
okay.
Not how traditions work. I do. I used to have a couple of holiday traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Which is stuff that Mr. Love and I used to do with our closest friends. But then they all started having babies and it just, oh, Mr. Love has just sent us a cute cat video.
Oh, excellent. My God. We love this guy.
Right on time, babes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a legend. Yeah, so we used to have this tradition, but then they all started having babies and it made life difficult. But their babies are great. So, yes. Like, that's good. But one of them was that on Christmas Day, the six of us, so it was three couples, the six of us would go to the movies. And now I hate the movies because, again, I'm a fucking hater and I hate everything. I know I'm the worst. But hate the movies. But we discovered that if you go on Christmas Day, there's like no one there.
Yes.
It's air conditioned.
Yes.
Which is excellent in an Australian summer. And it gives you, if you've booked in a time, then it means all of you have to leave your families and it's wonderful.
Oh my God. Because
you can go, oh, anyway, we need to wrap this shit up because I've got to meet blah, blah at Greater Union at 1 p.m.
I've never.
And it's fucking genius.
It's genius.
So that's my pro tip.
So impressive. That's my pro tip. That's a great tradition.
Get some people, get your chosen family together
mm-hmm.
and book in something on Christmas Day that you need to go to.
Amazing.
The other thing that group we used to always do is go away over New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the first times we all got together at like a party on New Year's Eve. I think it was maybe the first New Year's Eve I had with Mr. Love. And at that point, I guess I didn't know myself all that well. And
you didn't know you hated things.
I was like, I didn't know I hated things. Yeah. Well, and I was like, this is what normal people do. Like, I'll go do the thing that people do because I'll be like a good partner. Yeah. And so we went to a party and I was like, this is horrific. I can't be here. And that was actually, it was this really big moment in the six of our lives. Like we really bonded over that. And they were all like very supportive of my inability to partake in, you know, normal activities. So
what do you mean?
We used to go away to like a farm stay.
Were you having like a cry? Like, can I don't know if this is show appropriate, but what was it that they felt like they sort of had to do? Like what was
Yeah, I guess like lots of loud noises. I think New Year's Eve in particular is a night where there can be like a lot of sounds.
Mm. So you just wanted to be away from...
And then firecrackers and stuff.
Away from the group sort of thing.
Well, I just wanted there to be far less noise.
Yeah. Okay.
And that people were playing drinking games and, you know, I've got some... I don't think people shouldn't play drinking games, but it's not for me.
Totally.
And just, you know, I struggle with celebration. I struggle with highs of emotion.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not my vibe.
So your friends observed that and like took, like.
Well, yeah. And they were like, actually we all kind of went outside and they were like, actually we're more comfortable out here too. And that was like a kind of a real formative time for our friendship. Anyway,
the point is
the tradition that I'm getting to is that we used to always go away for a couple of nights to like a farm stay. So there would never be, you'd never hear any fireworks. And it would always just be this really nice quiet time.
Ugh.
Again, with like chosen family.
Such a fantastic group of friends. That's lovely.
Yeah. And so now, I mean, usually we still, we'll just go play board games at one of their houses now. I enjoyed the farm stay because it was more removed from the world.
Yeah. That's a very nice tradition, very wholesome.
What are your holiday traditions?
Oh, where do we begin? I don't know what counts as a tradition. Look, I do all the Christmas light stuff. I do it poorly, but I have to every year.
Bring
out the few straggly bits of tinsel and shitty lights I have and drape them really haphazardly over everything.
It's actually got tinsel
behind me here on the... And a little Christmas tree
like
there.
Surprise, surprise, do not enjoy Christmas decorations.
No.
But the only thing worse is shit ones. Like, oh, yes. My God, if you're going to do it well. No. Fuck. Her decorations are so shit, team. They're really yuck.
Yeah. It absolutely sends me over the edge how much my shitty decorations upset you. And that's that brings me joy as I was doing my beginning ones this year because I know you hate this straggly thin tinsel I have. And so I've...
Yeah, the tinsel itself is poor quality.
Yeah.
And then she just kind of drapes it over the clothesline. Like, why does a clothesline need tinsel? No one's ever needed to, like, bedazzle a clothesline. And it just, like... hangs off. It's not finished. Nothing's finished. Everything's just like bleh. It looks so like, and it's so depressing because somebody has tried to bring joy and all they've bought is depression, and that is so depressing.
Like, it makes me happy.
It makes me sad.
The combination of the real haphazardness and your disdain for it, I fucking
Do you remember the first time I saw it?
Yeah, yeah. You took pictures, I think, and you sent it to people. I think, well, maybe you just sent it to Mr. Love, but you were like, what is this? Like, yeah. Actually, no, I think you posted it on your story. Anyway, it was great.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
I was like, have you finished?
Is like, this? Yeah.
Is this the...
I was like, yeah, that's it.
You were
that's
like,
yeah. Yeah. And it was barely hanging on. It was like looped awful. Twice over the clothesline and just dangling like... Yeah.
Not like centered, just like in a random spot on the clock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's me. Other Christmas traditions. The past few years, it's quite embarrassing really, but I listen to Taylor Swift a lot. Like I will put, and I listen to Taylor Swift in general a lot, but more at Christmas time. And I put it up quite loud and I do puzzles I'm very into puzzle games. I have been for years, but always at Christmas time, I sit down with them and put Taylor Swift on really loud and do Christmas puzzles, just puzzles and enjoying my own company. And that's a real Christmas thing for me. I also have a Christmas movie folder on my hard drive. And so I put that on usually around Christmas time and just loop the movies through. And so one after another, it just plays Christmas films and various days throughout December.
So is that more like you just have them in the background?
In the background. Or you actually watch them? Yeah. Yeah, I find that really nice. All the little Christmas music and the sounds and the very cute. Yep.
I guess that's like me with... like when Drag. It used to be, was it Investigation Discovery Channel? Like the channel that used to just have all the true crime stuff.
Right.
And I just found the sounds of true crime really comforting.
Background
like
murder.
Like I'd never. Yeah. Background murder. Yeah. Well, they have good soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
And like the sound is like the. Not the sure speaking the is quite inoffensive. Like the speaking is very.
Oh, right. I get it. It's level.
Calm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's level. Yeah. Yeah. It's not like aggressive and yeah. So Anyway, there you go. I can relate.
Yeah. I can relate. There you go. So they're sort of my Christmas traditions. It's not entirely Christmassy, but every year they're the things that I sort of look forward to. I have bought you a Christmas gift or I've organized it to some extent. I think you will be pleaseder than usual with your Christmas gift this year because it's – I don't want to give too much away because I get so excited from the suspense. You don't, but I'm having a great old time.
I'm stressed.
No, I really don't think you will. And for listeners at home, I know that, look, one of the worst things about receiving gifts from somebody, like you were saying before, you've usually got a lot of the things that you want. And this has been one of the great things about wish lists in recent years that have become really prevalent in the sex worker community. Is that you can put things that you don't have that you do want. So it's sort of really good. Mm-hmm. But one of the worst things about gift receiving is when people give you something that you don't really want and then you feel like you can't sort of get rid of it. And I have that problem sometimes where it just adds to clutter. I'm like, there's lots of gifts people have given me that are lovely and genuinely I keep and I enjoy and whatever. But sometimes you get a little thing and you're like, oh, I've got this fucking knickknack and it's just going to sit in my cupboard because I feel really bad. Because then they're going to say, well, what did you think with this? Can I, bring it out? And you're going to go, fuck, I don't have that thing anymore. And it's just so socially awkward. That is a thing that is really stressful. It happens very rarely in my case, but I know that feeling. And I know in general that Jenna doesn't love that gift receiving thing. And I like to buy a bunch of little silly things and give them. So I'm like, take the gifts, chuck them in the bin. If you don't like them, I'll never ask about them again. Do whatever you want with them. But there's the gifts. I've done the gift giving. That's fulfilled and I feel good about it. And that's it. But this year, I think that you're going to avoid that situation. Okay. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm very excited. I have nearly finished my Christmas shopping, I think. I've got I'm the worst for it though, because I see everything and I'm like, I want one for myself. Anything I buy for somebody, I'm like, one for me, one for you. And it spirals quickly.
I'm just triggered by the whole conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know you are. You don't like it. And as always, the gift giving is not in expectation of a reciprocation. It's because I just like giving gifts.
Oh, I get that. Because, yeah, good. I love finding something that makes you think of someone and giving it to them. Like that is a really, I fully understand that experience.
Good.
From the giver.
Yeah.
Fully. It's just this strange thing. My family's always like, I don't know, found me really difficult. Like, it's just...
You are hard to buy gifts for.
My entire life.
No, you really
Everyone
are.
Says... I don't think I am. I think I make it really easy. I have so many, like, hobbies. Like, I feel like I literally will take up hobbies. And I did this last year and this year.
You did.
I took up hobbies so that my family would have things to buy me.
Yeah.
And I was what more do you fucking want from me? I took up a whole fucking hobby. I bought a whole machine.
Yeah.
And here's a website with all of the accessories.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm being the best daughter ever, but they're still like, you're just so hard to buy for. I'm like, I don't want presents. So sure. I don't know why you're making, like, I've made it easy for you. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Yes. Fuck. I don't want them. But if you have to give them to me, I've done all this labor to make it so you can.
Yeah.
No, but, I agree. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's been ever since I was a little girl. I guess I've just always struggled with, like, I'm not comfortable, I guess, putting on like an act.
Oh, of course.
And if I get something that I like, I'm always like, wow, that's like really great. Thank you. That's incredibly thoughtful.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, thanks. I'm like, no, I.
Yes, I just, do but I have to do a performance?
Wow. Yeah, and I think my sister has always done a performance. So I think that's what my family is always expecting that. And they know that they don't get that from me. And it's always this big thing. And then there have been so many years where I've opened a present. And not, I mean, I'm older now, obviously. But when I was younger, I'd just always cry because I'd be like, oh, well, I don't want this thing. And I don't know, like, they've gone to the effort. And now it's like how... I'm just disappointing my entire family again.
Yeah. It puts so much pressure on you to react in the correct way. And that's why I'm like, here's the gift. Don't give me any reaction. I don't want that pressure on you.
I generally always, like, I love little fun presents. It's like, it's more, you know, my parents would buy me this like expensive thing. And I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And you've spent all this money on it. And that makes me really sad.
Oh, that is awful. But like, okay. Yeah.
But, you know, I have this pencil case that you gave me as a part of a whole bunch of presents you gave me last year. I assume it was Christmas. Last I don't know what it was for.
Yeah.
You give me presents a lot.
Not much, no.
And I use that. It's the perfect size for my, like, cricket accessories. And I love it. And every time, like, it feels really nice. And it's got a little Ava on it. And it's just the best. Mm, so, good. You know.
Isn't that nice?
Gifts sometimes can go well. Yeah.
Advent calendars. How many years ago did I give you your first exit calendar? Did I give it or did I recommend it? Yeah. Yeah. And now.
I think you gave it.
Yeah. And now you guys get them pre-ordered like months in advance.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
But I don't do it as an advent calendar.
No, you
still
just do
abhor
it.
Advent calendars.
It's just but you it's do it in puzzle. December. Oh, no, you did it January last year.
No. We do it whenever we have time, which is not often.
Well,
yeah,
I'll take that as a win.
It's very good. I mean, yeah, highly recommend. I just don't. I just hate the concept of advent calendars. But yeah,
yeah, these are the exit the game ones. They're sort of escape room type advent calendars with a puzzle a day, and I really enjoy them. I usually do most of the puzzles well before Christmas. I have no self control. That's a constant thing in my life. But super, super fun. I don't do chocolate advent calendars because if I want to eat chocolate, I'm just going to fucking buy some chocolate and eat it all. Like, I don't want to have like a little chocolate a day. What the fuck? But I do get a little alcohol advent calendar every now and then. I got one this year, a vodka one that has 24 different flavors, and it's like musk sticks and fruit tingles and all sorts of sweet stuff. So I get a little sweet drink a day. Not that I need to be drinking every day, but hey, it's Christmas. So whatever.
Is it just like a little... thing?
It's a can. Each day has is one can of a flavored.
That must
vodka.
Be a big calendar.
It's a big case thing. Yeah, yeah. It's quite massive. Yeah, it's.
But is Bilson's. It like? Is it just 24 different flavors in a box?
Yes.
Like, is that really an advent calendar?
Well, no, it's not. It's priced more than a usual case of their 24 vodkas, mixed vodkas. But it has a little door that you can open for each day to take the can out. So the novelties, see,
well, it's good thing you're paying the money for that little door.
Glad, yep, it's $160 worth of canned
that
vodka.
That is not how they get me, but it is how they get Holly.
It's the I get the Christmas spirit. Christmas movies. I don't really need to talk about them. That'll do. And Christmas food.
No, thank you. Is the answer to that?
Yeah. What's your favorite Christmas food on Christmas Day?
Stop asking me these questions, Holly.
I love it.
Why would I have a favorite Christmas food? What does that mean? Oh, I'll tell you what I don't like. That my mum every year buys these like. Oh, no, I do have a favorite food. Okay.
Oh, I love how you've had so many of these things. You've gone, nah, and then you've got a great story. Like.
Oh, yeah, I do. So my mum buys this, like, I don't even know what it is. It's like this Christmas mix of lollies. I don't. Yeah. I've never seen it in the store, but somehow it appears in her house every
she
year.
She conjures it, yeah.
And it's fucking disgusting. Like, it's got. I don't even know. It's not right. They're just this weird like Christmas lollies mix, which it's not acceptable. But there is a thing that my mum used to give me every single Easter time and Christmas, which is wild because we don't really celebrate. Well, I guess my family celebrated Christmas, but we definitely never celebrated Easter. And yeah, I don't celebrate either, but my mum would always give me this. It's a thing from Daryl Lee. It's like a nougat pudding. Oh. And I think, I don't know if the Christmas and the Easter time, like they come out around that time of the year. Like that's when you can get them in stores. And it is just the most fucking delicious ball of sugar.
Wow.
Okay. So I love them.
It's a bit of joy on Christmas.
Well, not on Christmas. I just
around.
If Christmas. I see one, I'll buy it and I'll eat it because I like them. Right. But I guess it began as a Christmas tradition in my family.
Yeah. No, that's cute. That's not bad at all.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Mum.
Well, you know, I'm happy. Anything that brings you joy, I'm happy because.
if there's so little, it's not true though. There's no, so much I love about the world.
I know. Don't have to defend yourself. I know you. I hate a lot of Christmas food because Christmas is so much around like ham and turkey, and I don't eat a lot of meat in general. I find meat mostly reasonably gross. I also don't like things like pumpkin and
I love pumpkin. You know,
I don't like nuts and I don't like fruit in my desserts. And oh no, wait, that's a you know
what about pav though?
Puddings, yeah, pav, fine,
yeah,
totally, pav's I'm okay. On board. Totally.
Yeah. But not like fucking glaced cherries? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, whatever it is. That's not into okay. That. No. Yeah. No. I don't want a fruit cake thing. What is it? Christmas cake? Oh, awful.
No.
So, yeah, I find a lot of Christmas foods. But on Christmas, for me, it's all about roast chicken, potatoes, that sort of shit. This year, I'm probably going to go to Red Rooster, get all of that stuff and eat that on my own on Christmas Day. Booze up and then fall asleep. So that is my idea of good Christmas meal. I associate, people ask about Christmas desserts, and since I was a kid, we would always have Viennetta on Christmas, at Christmas time. Right. And so to me...
That is the fancy dessert.
It's the fancy
that
dessert.
That is what... Yes.
Yeah.
When you have people over, you bring out the Viennetta.
You do the Viennetta. Yeah. To me, and I've had it as an adult, and it's really quiet. It's not a particularly fancy or a very special tasting dessert.
But is that like an Aussie thing? Do our international listeners know what that is?
Viennetta.
Yeah, because it's Streets, which is, isn't that an Australian company?
No, I'm not sure at all. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no, it's British.
Oh, right.
Made by Unilever, of course.
Okay.
Maybe they do. Anyway, yeah, it's not that great, but I feel like
it's
a lot of people, our generation and our fancy. Like social class,
yes.
It was the fancy dessert growing up.
Yeah, so that's to me a very Christmas dessert, and so you know I might treat myself to something like that. Anyway, that's our little really what's the word? Varied takes on Christmas and
so wait, you are thinking of treating yourself to something that isn't that enjoyable.
Yeah.
But has a place because of tradition.
Yeah.
That's the most Christmas thing I've ever heard.
That is how I feel
like
with Christmas stuff.
That describes all of Christmas to me.
Yeah.
It's people doing shit they don't even like because they think that they did it before and they think they should.
No, it's all overall, like individually, the components are quite mediocre, but collectively,
okay,
it feels, it imbues me with a feeling of anticipation and thrill.
Okay.
So there's an endorphin release that comes from this collection of really mediocre things, but done at a particular time of year. So that's...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. Okay. I will say I freaking love the smell of Christmas trees. Is that like pine? Is that what that is?
Don't
are
ask me.
Trees?
I don't have a sense of smell.
I don't know anything about trees.
I shouldn't call you a bitch. Sorry. That's very triggering. or a cow. Yeah. Careful.
Christmas trees smell really nice.
So I hear, yeah.
So it is this experience for, you know, those of us with the privilege of smelling. Who are familiar with, like, when you were younger and you'd go to people's houses around, like, December, they would smell a certain way.
Oh,
and
what?
That is,
I feel like that's, I missed out. That sounds great.
That's a bit of a little nostalgia bomb. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose there's other smells at Christmas that people have, like musk and gingerbread and
musk isn't all year round for me.
Is it? Yeah.
Musk
right.
is my staple.
Yeah.
And ginger's disgusting. So
is it? Right. I like the taste of gingerbread, so I don't know if I'd like the smell, but
I mean you like the taste of my gingerbread.
Mm-hmm. I like the taste of your gingerbread. Your face. Perfect.
I made a holly joke.
You did. It's great. We love it. We love it, the raucous nonsense. Okay, Christmas booking wish list. Is there a kind of booking that you would enjoy more of this Christmas / in 2024, or activities or acts or anything that you would, that you've sort of been frothing?
I was thinking about, I guess this ties in with what I was saying earlier about more like experiences and activities and stuff.
Okay.
And I think I've really, I know I've shot myself in the foot with that because I don't market necessarily towards that.
Okay.
And because my pricing structure doesn't encourage people to do that because I don't charge a lower rate for social bookings.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to stick with that. And yeah, like, you know, I think about some cool bookings I've had. Like one was I went to a concert and I was quite apprehensive about that because I was like, oh God, me and concerts, you know.
Yes.
But I had a really, really nice time and it was with a regular and I felt comfortable and blah, blah, blah. So I think for me, it kind of has to be with the right people. So it's a bit silly for me to just put it out there. But, you know, I'd love bookings where people say, hey, I want to take you here and let's do this thing. And like that would be, I think some more of that would be really cool. Like I feel like you get up to some really fun activities in your bookings. And I often feel restricted because of where I live. Like if people are coming to me, there's not that much to do around me. So, you know, but yeah, I think I'd like a bit more like novelty in terms of like, and going on little dates and stuff with my clients. Like I think that kind of appeals to me. Yeah.
My booking wish list. I have had on my booking wish list for a long time a ball busting session. I had one planned with a touring dom, but that fell through and hopefully we'll reschedule at some point because I think it would be really cool to do that sort of thing guided by somebody who has done a lot of ball busting before and who is really competent at it and can make sure that I don't fuck anything up. But yeah, absolutely destroying someone's balls sounds so fun to me and I'm really into that. I have never in my life done an MMF. I have never, ever, ever been with more than one man at a time. And I think that would be
so
much fun.
That is criminal.
It is
absolutely criminal. What the
fuck? I would really like to do that at some point. I'd love a voyeur session. I've had inquiries over the years and I had one client once who was really into it and we just never got around to it. I think that would be so much fun. And I don't, really reticent sometimes to talk about that sort of thing because I don't want somebody just to book it because I've said I want it and then they sit there in the corner going, this is fucking shit, I gotta watch these people have sex. Like, I want somebody to book who genuinely gets
who's into
off
it.
On that. Yeah, I want 100%. Somebody to do it because it's their kid.
And is that what you mean by a voyeur session where the client is a voyeur and watches you with someone else?
Yeah, and even with a little bit of that sort of cucking sort of, you know, I don't mind a little bit of the humiliation aspect to them. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a really, really fun session that I've never done before. And I'm really into quickie sessions. This is something that I talk about a lot. And I have problems with getting them because the demographic just doesn't line up. The thing is that a lot of my followers on Twitter and on socials in general are the sort of people who will book longer sessions because they want to have a meaningful, they follow my socials. We have some sort of parasocial, if not a genuine human relationship.
Yes, a connection
where we want to sit down and talk for hours and you know, have several rounds and explore each other and whatever. And that's really nice. So, you know, I really enjoy doing quickie sessions, but that's not something that my socials appeal to that demographic. If I do post advertising for quickie sessions, and particularly if I do like specials and stuff like that, the people who want those sorts of sessions usually want them right now. They want them 20
that's
minutes
the
ago.
Problem.
And I'm not that girl. I need to know. Yep. I'm not asking for 6 weeks notice, but I'd like to know the day before. I'd like to know maybe 6 hours before. I'd like a few hours notice, but almost 100% of the people who want a short session, want it within the hour. And you might say, well, Holly, get your shit together, get your lingerie on, do your hair and makeup and sit around and wait. And I'll say to you, no, no.
But also it doesn't work. Because every time you do that, they're not inquiring.
No one will inquire. Like
we've been there. We've tried. It doesn't work.
And then the next day when I'm like, well, I'll wait and I'll hopefully someone will give me a few hours notice, everyone will contact me and I'll be like, well, fuck, I just, yeah. So, I hope to have more quickie sessions in the new year, though. I think it's really fun sometimes. Mm. Somebody come in for a short amount of time, we rip each other's clothes off and then they bail. One of my beautiful clients the other day who I see for – you know, 1 hour sessions was like, oh, can I come for a short session next time? Is that going to be okay? And I was like, babe, you can come for 3 minutes if you want. Don't worry about it. Like, well, you know, and, you know, we'll work out some sort
of. You'll pay for more than 3 minutes.
You're going to pay for, you know, but we'll work it out, honestly. And, you know, I've got clients who I have, you know, one who comes for like 10 minutes or something. And, you know, we'll work. Mm. I'm happy to be a little bit flexible on a rate there. I'm not saying I'm going to cut myself, you know, but work it out.
Yeah.
But there's no shame in it. Gosh, my client was so like, oh, I don't know if it's okay. Mate, no worries. Mm. Fun. Great. Yeah.
It's very, yeah. I mean, this is a whole other conversation, but it just started me thinking about, because Mr. Love has seen, he has like a regular worker now, which I love. And so he's seen the same person a few times. And again, it doesn't, not very often for him, but it is, you know, a thing that he's been doing. And it's been so fascinating for me to hear his psychology around it, because I think I kind of remember the conversations now, and he's going to be editing this being like, Jenna, what are you talking about? But it was something like one time he booked a 3 hour and then the next time he booked a 2 hour and he was like, oh, is she going to be like, what the fuck? That's not as much money. And like, and I was like, oh my God, no, what? No. She'll be happy to like, that's right. Cause he booked a 2 hour and they went overtime. So then the next time he was like, well, I'll book 3 hours. And I was like, correct. Oh, great. You were doing correct clienting. Yep. But then I think the next time he wanted to try a different type of session that she offers, which is at a cheaper rate, because that's what he wanted to try, not because he was trying to get a cheaper deal, you know.
Sure.
And obviously I sent him off with tips because I'm not fucking sending my husband to hookers without tipping. My God. Mm-hmm. So the money's not really a concern with that. But he was like, oh, is she going to be disappointed that I've booked for like a cheaper session and she's not going to get as much money from me, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, no, why are you thinking about that? But it's been good for me to have that insight into, the fear of booking long enough or,
It's
like, no, book what you want.
Oh, yeah.
We offer different things so that you can book different things. That's fine.
Absolutely. I've had some clients sort of say to me, oh, you know, I might not be able to come and see you for 6 months and is that still going to be? And I'm like, what? If you come, I said to one even this week, if you come and see me once every 6 years, I'll be really happy. I love that. I feel like some of them, they haven't seen you for a while and then they feel like you're going to be upset that they can't come back because what? It's fine. I said to my client the other day, if you want to come back when I'm 90, you're welcome. Like it's, you know, obviously I would love to see you more often. I'm really happy to see you for longer sessions. But we're
grateful for what we get.
Yeah. I'm like, so grateful. Yeah. Yes. If it's for 15 minutes once every 10 years, I think that's lovely as well. So I think definitely don't feel pressure in that regard. Gosh, we're really happy. I don't imagine most workers would resent that.
No, we'd rather have a short booking with you than no booking at all.
Yeah.
Like that's
100%.
Yeah.
Funny boys, aren't they?
Funny boys. Not all boys, but some of them are, and
most,
they're funny.
Most boys
are. A lot of them are, yes.
Thank you and Merry Christmas to our sexy patrons. Our even more generous somebodies, Alex, Dave, the Ashley Stafford, the Rhiannon Rhodes, Nomad, Adele, Andrew, Our Footstool, Lachlan, Leslie, Sub London, Mr. E, NK, The Ophelia Parker, Scott C, Simon, Steve, Timmy, Wheezy, Luke, Frankie, Is Lost in Thoughts, Cuddle Koala, The Sasha Sins, and Stanley Doolittle. Gosh, so many of you. We love you.
And then there's our extremely generous somebodies, and I won't wish you a Merry Christmas because that's the kind of girl I am. They are
She'll wish you a bar humbug.
That's even more cringe. Like I no. But thank you to Aaron, Andrew, Adam Smith, Pete, the Sienna Saint, Adam Moore, and Tim.
We have loved you joining us for a whole another year, even though we've only just restarted this season. There are so many more episodes to come. Thank you for all of the support and tuning in and listening to our rambles and contributing and asking questions and just caring about the industry and caring about sex workers and being great allies. We are really grateful for you joining us on this journey, and we look forward to seeing you next year.
Absolutely. Yes. Catch you in the new year. Bye.
Bye.
Please look out for us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Patreon. Our name everywhere is Somebody You Pod, as in podcast. Our Patreon starts at just $3 a month, and you can get all of our episodes ad-free and a day early, plus bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes action, bloopers, and more. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the voices of sex workers. And remember, somebody you love might just be a sex worker.